So I remember, when you and your colleagues presented the comfort data a few years ago at ASCO, which is so striking. I mean, I just like came out of the blue, and I was kind of expecting we'd be seeing all kinds of other agents. And here we are, I don't know what it is, 6 years later, and at least nothing's been approved. I don't know if anything's exciting. Some of the agents we've heard about, and you've worked on pacritinib, momelotinib, and also the intriguing drug PRM-151. Any comments on these agents? Do you think that someday they'll be in practice?
Yeah, so let's talk about other agents and let's think about the JAK inhibitors. I think we really had a problem in this field and it was something we didn't really expect. We've seen six or seven drugs come to phase three trials and then fail in a phase three trial. So the first one we had this experience of was fedratinib. This was a drug that looked good in early phase studies, maybe had some effect on marrow morphology and allele burden. We reported a positive study, the JAKARTA-1 study, and in fact, we were nearly completing looking at a second-line study, which was incredibly positive for patients who had failed or were intolerant to ruxolitinib. The patients were getting really good responses, and yet that drug was associated with Wernicke's encephalopathy and then withdrawn from clinical practice. For me, I'm hopeful that, we may be able to bring fedratinib back maybe in some way. We've recently just about to publish the second line study showing just how good that drug was for those patients who weren't doing well on ruxolitinib. But the other drugs, pacritinib looks really interesting and has been under a full clinical hold, as many of you will know from the FDA, because of problems with bleeding, cardiac events, and a question mark about that it might adversely affect survival for patients. I mean, this was a really exciting drug because your most difficult, well, my most difficult myelofibrosis patient is my patient with really bad thrombocytopenia and a massive spleen, because that's a patient that's really challenging to treat with ruxolitinib, or that's a patient that's failing ruxolitinib usually. And pacritinib held, in my view, quite a lot of promise for those patients. And in my experience in clinical trials, the patients had done well with the drug. They weren't getting so much myelotoxicity. Some of them were getting transfusion independent. As far as I understand it, recently at the ASH meeting, John Mascarenhas presented the PERSIST-2 study, which was the study where the pacritinib was tested in patients who were just thrombocytopenic, so platelets less than 100. Again, positive data. And we're hoping that we might be able to move forward with this drug, but we'll have to do some further studies. With momelotinib, data from the SIMPLIFY-1 and SIMPLIFY-2 studies were presented at the ASCO meeting. And this drug is another intriguing drug with a niche benefit in terms of anemia. There may have been some issues with meeting endpoints with regard to spleen and symptoms when compared to ruxolitinib in the first line study, but the anemia endpoints were met. So that's an intriguing thing for me, given that my experience is that some patients are really struggling with anemia. So complicated in terms of JAK inhibitors, and it's been probably disappointing because, in my view, we need more than one JAK inhibitor or JAK inhibitor-like drug for treating our patients with MF and also PV patients who benefit well from this drug. But we've also, as you alluded to, been expanding our interest recently in either combinations with ruxolitinib. We talked about combinations for disease progression, but also combinations to try to improve response. So we've been trying histone deacetylase inhibitors, in particular panobinostat, smoothened inhibitors, LDE-225, and then also targeting the PI3 kinase pathway with the BKM-120 drug. In addition, I think there are several other molecules that are of potential interest for patients with myelofibrosis. And the two that I would really pick out for later patients with a more advanced disease are PRM-151, which is the pentraxin analog. It has very little dose-limiting toxicity and may lead to spleen symptoms and also hematological responses. And then imetelstat, which experience of that was published by Ayalu Teferi and also the Swiss group in ET, and then Ayalu published in Myelofibrosis, really showing some very striking benefits for patients. So very intriguing because, actually, as far as I understand it, there was no correlation with change in telomere length, which you would expect to see with a telomerase inhibitor. So maybe there's some off-target benefits benefit with that drug. So those are the kind of drugs that I would think about for my patients with advanced disease. And we've one or two patients on these studies doing well, and we need to hear some more data.